first verse 7. The Lord says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." And again, we'll read in verse 12. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." And then finally, we read this word, in verse 20. "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." Amen. So come, Lord Jesus. These are our Lord's own last and final words to the world as he closes the revelation of himself in the Scriptures. Many in our world today take a great interest and are very intent to know what the last words of men are, especially of great men and leaders in the earth. They want to know, what were their last words? What did they have to say? What wisdom could they share in their final hours? Or they like to read the records of men gone by, what they said when they were on their deathbed, or what they had to say in some momentous occasion, do we not? Oh, we like to read those things. What did so-and-so president, or some great leader of the past, or this great conqueror, this king, oh, what did he say? Well, we have here, in fact, not the last dying words, but the words of him, as we are told in verse 6, of the faithful and true witness, the one who liveth and was dead, and behold, is alive forevermore. Amen. He is that holds the keys of death and of hell. If there were ever words to which we should give our complete, undivided, and most serious attention, it is the words of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. His words we must take heed to. If any earthly ruler were to once express his intention to do something, whatever that thing may be, would his government not immediately prepare itself to fulfill that intention? How much more then should we give attention and the more earnest heed to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when he speaks, not once, not twice, but three times, and says these final words, "Behold, I come quickly." If some great leader were to send word that you were coming here quickly, oh, how much preparation would be done. Everything would be dusted and swept and prepared. Every piece of furniture would be in its place. Meals would be prepared of the greatest variety. Our possessions and everyone here would be prepared. How careful and anxious we'd be looking out the windows. Oh, isn't he there yet? Has he come? Oh, I think I see him. He's coming up the drive now. Some great earthly ruler, if he were to come today, how careful would we be to prepare ourselves? But oh, how sadly, the King of Glory has spoken, and he has sent word beforehand to all, to you, that he is coming, and he is coming quickly. Yet how few, how exceedingly few have heeded his word, and how few have made preparation. and how few are anxiously looking and waiting and expecting that at the next moment He'll come, because He said He would come quickly. The most part of mankind conduct themselves as though the Lord had never spoken these words, forgetting that He had spoken them three times over. And many, many among that vast multitude of our day, many among the vast multitude of all who have lived in ages past, are you among them? Are you among these? Many among this vast multitude of the careless have gone beyond more mere carelessness, and they have become mockers of His promise. They are just like those in the days of the Apostle Peter, who said, "There come some who say, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." They scoff and they jeer and they mockingly say, "Where is this Jesus? I don't see Him. It's been 2,000 years since He departed this earth, and there's still no sign of Him." Oh, my friends, do not make yourselves the companion of such fools. These have forgotten the further inspired words of the apostle when he said, "Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." By this eternal accounting of time, the Lord Jesus has been gone from this earth but 2 days. And should He delay another 100 years, what is that to Him but the 10th part of a single day? That man is a fool. Mark it down. That man is a fool who reckons according to earthly time. That this brief pause between our Lord's first coming and His final return is His delay. To those who scoff, the words of the old preacher are most appropriate when he wrote this for such who mock at the Lord's coming. He said the Lord's coming will be sooner than they are aware, sooner than they are prepared, and sooner than they desire. Oh, let the mockers mock. There yet shall come that moment in the court of heaven when the Father will say, "Done!" And the Lord Jesus will rise from His throne at the right hand of His Father. And He shall gather together all the souls of His people on that day. And for the first time in all of eternity, heaven will be emptied of all of its angels as they accompany Him along with His saints back to this earth. And the souls of all the saints and all the angels shall follow Him as He returns, this time in the full splendor and glory of the Son of God. And this He will do as He said, "Behold, I come quickly." And this is no bare reappearance, for He comes for this reason: to judge the earth. Every man, every woman, boy and girl in that day, when He returns, every eye shall see Him, the Scripture says. Every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Yes, every eye shall see Him. King and beggar, rich and poor, your eye and mine. the dead in the graves shall be made alive, and the living together with them shall look upon Him and see Him coming. And as Jude has written, He is coming with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed. Scripture is referred to this day, that day in which He comes quickly, as the great and terrible day of the Lord. And so it shall be, my friends. So it shall be for every sinner and every scoffer who mocks the Lord's return. Everyone who bowed not their knee to Christ while in this body shall, in their resurrected body, bow their knee and confess with their tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Listen to this description of this scene of that great day when He comes quickly. I turn back 2 chapters to Revelation, chapter 20. We read these words. And I saw a great white throne, verse 11, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Oh, He said in another book, the heavens are not clean in His sight. No wonder they will flee away. How much more will sinners in that day? And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire along with death and hell, Satan and his angels. Oh, what a dreadful day. That day shall be for everything. For you, if you have not repented and believed, if you have not laid hold of Christ by faith as your Redeemer before that day, hear this solemn word. If you have not known the Lord Jesus as your Redeemer and your Savior in this present hour, then you shall know Him as your Judge in that hour when He comes quickly. And He will pronounce your condemnation in that hour before the assembled universe of men and angels. Think with me. Think with me for a moment what it shall be when the Lord of hosts sits upon this seat of judgment. His all-seeing eye will pierce every heart and will make sinners to know every sin that they have committed. And they shall confess before Him and the assembled world their sins. And they will confess that their sentence is just when He declares to them these awful words: "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And who are these cursed? Again, from this last book of the inspired Scripture, we have this word, Revelation 22, 21, and verse 8. The fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Oh, do not kid yourself. Do not deceive yourself, saying, well, I'm not in that list. Those are not my sins. Oh, but they are. If nothing else, if you have not come to Christ, you are among those who are called unbelieving. And you shall have your part in a lake of fire, which is the second death. If you are yet outside the safety of forgiveness of sins by Christ the Redeemer, you are at this moment within the just condemnation of Christ the Judge. And all that awaits for you is simply the execution of your sentence. Oh my friend, do not count these words which we speak here today foolish tales or stories meant to scare children. You have the witness of the holy prophets, the testimony of angels, and the word of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, not once, not twice, but three times. His testimony to the truth. Behold, I come quickly. Yes, we speak plainly. And we speak directly, and perhaps some will be offended. But should we not speak so when matters of eternity are before every one of us? If this building were on fire, would we not speak plainly and directly and urge all to flee and escape the danger? How much more then should we be clear and direct when not only our bodies, but our souls, our very souls, are in eternal danger? I urge you, let these words, behold, I come quickly, consume your thoughts. And may they be an unceasing call to you to come to Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins and believing on His shed blood as your only hope of cleansing from them. For the sinner, that day when the Lord comes quickly will be, as one of the prophets described it, a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of waste and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess. Oh, but there's another scene. There's another scene on that day that we must mention before we close. For that day, when He comes quickly, will be a day of joy and delight for every believer. Oh, you who are the believing ones, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. He comes quickly. Oh, saint of God, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And in that day when He comes quickly, our salvation will be complete. And there shall be fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore at His right hand. In that day, every redeemed one of the earth will be like Him, the Scripture says, for we shall see Him as He is. And who can even conceive the least part of it? For we're told again, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have it entered into the heart of man, what God hath prepared for them that love Him. Oh, glory. Oh, saints, we shall indeed see Him, and we shall see Him with immortal eyes, incorruptible eyes on that day. We shall see His full glory. And what shall that be like?
He who is the brightness of his Father's glory and the express image of his person, we will see with our own eyes. Moses could not bear the sight of the Lord's glory while here on earth. But in that day when the Lord Jesus comes quickly, our vile bodies will be changed, and we shall behold the King in all His glory. And who can tell what that shall be with human words? We shall see His glory. Yes, we shall see His glory. All and saints, we shall see His wounds. Those wounds He received at Calvary, now made all the more glorious by the fullness of His glory, which He had with the Father when the world began. Oh, we shall look upon His pierced hands and His wounded feet and His riven side, and we shall worship the Lamb forever and ever.
Amen.
And we will sing a new song saying, Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. Oh, we shall indeed see Him. We shall see His glory. We shall see His wounds. But more than that, we shall see His face.
Yes.
Oh, that lovely face. Oh, millions, millions of the redeemed shall for the very first time in that day when He comes quickly. Oh, we'll look upon the face of their dear Redeemer.
Yes, yes.
Oh, how many have wondered since the day they came to faith in Christ what that face looks like. What are its features we fancy? What does He look like? And in that day when He comes quickly, we shall know. We shall know. We shall look into the eyes of Him who saw us in eternity past, and who loved us with an everlasting love, and who drew us in loving kindness to Himself. Oh, His eyes will beam with delight when He looks upon His bride, the church adorned in white, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And we shall look upon Him with admiration, unspotted and unstained by sin and frailty for the very first time. It shall be, as the hymn writer has gloriously put it, the bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not of the crown He giveth, but on His pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's
day.
Oh, and we shall see His smile. We shall see His smile as He rejoices over us with joy. And we shall hear His voice. We shall hear His voice for the very first time with our ears. And it shall cause our hearts to leap within us as He speaks those marvelous words, those undeserved words. Come. Come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Oh, sin. If you are yet outside of Christ, fear and tremble for these words. Behold, I come quickly. Flee to Christ. Now. As your Savior. Flee to Christ while you have this moment, for you are promised no other. No, Saint. rejoice in this word. Behold, I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come.